4 and verse 7, the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Now notice something about the word, wisdom being the principal thing, and also understanding. They correlate together. Wisdom and understanding is not necessarily the same thing. Understanding is the pathway or the conduit toward wisdom that comes from God. I want to share today about how to put your doubts to death. Dr. Lester Summerall had a wonderful billboard on his parking lot. I've mentioned it a number of times. It said, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. I'd love to get a billboard on our parking lot that reads the same thing. It'd be great to have the largest one the city would allow us to have. So when you drive in the main entrance, the first thing you see is feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. You know, many of us have used this in our vocabulary, our language. We'll say somebody will talk to us or promises will come to us, and our first response is, well, I doubt it. You know, or I don't think that can happen, or there's no way, or you can't believe that. You know, it's real easy for us to make declarations that kill faith. And today we need to understand how powerful wisdom is and understanding is. Let me give you a definition of what understanding is. You might want to write this down. I didn't make a PowerPoint this morning. It says, possessing a working knowledge of God's word. So in all by getting, get understanding. In all by getting, get a possessed knowledge of working the word of God. Know how to work the word of God. There's one thing of knowing the word, but there's another application of knowing how to work the word. Amen? One has understanding and the other has no understanding. Now, John chapter 20, in verse 25, talks about the disciples and witnessing about the resurrection of Jesus. And we read it there on the screen. Other disciples therefore said, and we have seen the Lord. He was talking to Thomas. How many remember what Thomas's first name is? Well, he sure he wasn't born with that, but he sure got to be known by that. It says, so he said to them, unless I, what does it say? See in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I'll not believe. Now notice the key word that Thomas declared. He said, unless I see. Everybody say with me, unless I see. Unless I see. See, understanding is seeing. Understanding is seeing. Have you ever had anybody talk to you and try to explain directions or maybe how to put something together, and finally it clicks and you go, oh, now I see. You know, it's the seeing aspect that will release understanding in our lives. Understanding, then, will produce wisdom, which releases the power of God. Now, as we build this morning, the first thing we need to do is we need to identify doubt. So let's give you a definition of it. Doubt means to hold the truth, validity, or the reliability of it as being uncertain. So doubt is to take truth and its validity and reliability as being uncertain and hesitating to believe it or hesitating to accept it. That's what doubt is. Now Proverbs chapter 21 and 16 says, to lack understanding, you might as well be dead. That's a powerful word right there. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. I don't know about you, but I don't want to die before I die. I want to live the abundant life. Jesus came to give us abundant life. Amen? So we read the scripture, a man who lacks understanding is a man who will die or will rest with the assembly of the dead. And so today we could be living our lives, we could be going to work, going to church, reading our Bible, all these things, but lack understanding, not seeing, not having a working knowledge of the Word of God, then we will rest in the assembly of the dead. That's a pretty powerful scripture, Acts chapter 8, verse 28. It was Philip, and God spoke to him and said, I want you to run up next to this chariot, and there's an Ethiopian there who's reading the book of Isaiah. And he tells him, go up to this guy, overtake him. That's pretty powerful in the spirit anyway, isn't it? Guy's in the chariot going about 30 miles an hour, and here comes Philip. Hey, you know what you're reading? He runs up right alongside of him, but he says to him, we'll go to the next slide then, please. Well, anyway, it says, he asked him, he said, do you understand what you're reading? See, Philip wasn't excited over the fact that he had his Bible open. He wasn't all excited over the fact that he was in church. He was excited over the fact that he had to find out whether or not you understand what's in your lap this morning, what's up on the screen. Do you understand it? And here's what the Ethiopian said. He said, well, he said, I'm not sure. He said, I don't have anybody to guide me. See, this is what's so powerful when you come under the anointing of preaching and teaching of the Word of God, when the fivefold ministry is in operation and disclosing and declaring under the unction of the Spirit of God, it gives us understanding. In other words, the Scriptures open up to us. That's why it's important to take notes and get the CDs and look at the Scripture as we're discovering this Word, because you don't want to just read your Bible. You want to understand your Bible. You want to be able to see it. And so, in verse 30 of that text of Acts 8, he asks him, do you understand what you're reading? I've got to declare, I think there's an entire generation of those that profess to be Christians who really are not understanding the Word of God. If we understood it, we'd live different. We'd treat one another different. Come on, somebody. We wouldn't have any financial lack. Come on, somebody. There'd be more healings and signs and wonders in the church. Come on, somebody. We wouldn't have all these debates about whether we should be a sipping saint or not, or whether it's homosexuality is accepted. I mean, it's because we don't have understanding. We don't see the Word. We don't get the understanding. So Proverbs 4:7 says, all by getting everything that you do, you ought to focus on getting understanding. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Is it okay if we do a lot of scripture this morning? I've got a lot of word for you this morning, I'll tell you. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 16. I commune with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. You know, it's interesting, that word understood in verse 16. If you have a Bible like mine, you can look over in the margin, and that word in the Hebrew could literally be translated, I have seen wisdom. I have seen wisdom and knowledge. See, it's the revelation that comes to you, the exposing of the depth of God's Word, that when you walk in faith, see, I believe this, the key to faith is understanding. I believe your faith and my faith is at the mercy of the level of our understanding. I don't believe we can have faith for healing if we don't have understanding about healing. I don't believe you can operate on that level of faith. I don't believe you can operate the level of faith in prosperity until you understand prosperity. So we see now, he said, I have to see it. When I saw it, I operated in wisdom and knowledge. So how many of us want to increase our faith in here this morning? I hope you do. We all want greater faith. Without faith, you can't please God. The just shall live by faith. Now listen to the word this morning as I try to develop this and break this down for us, because this is going to be significant for us in the days ahead in regards to gaining victory in long outstanding places of opposition. I really believe in 2007 we're going to overtake. We're going to pursue, and we're going to what? Recover all. Amen? So if we're going to do that, we've got to get understanding. Now, it tells us that the Philippian jailer, if you remember, in Acts chapter 16, after Paul and Silas were singing in the prison, and the earthquake came, all the prisoners were released, and the Philippian jailer came up to him and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, that's an important part. You got to watch those little sneaky scriptures. He didn't say, "Lord, please help me." Here's the cry of this generation. "Lord, please help me pay my bills. Lord, please help me get my marriage back together. Lord, please help my business succeed." But the jailer didn't say, "Lord, help me." He said, "What must I do in order to be saved?" In other words, I've got to get a revelation and understanding of a working knowledge of this word so I can initiate soteria or salvation into my life. In other words, faith is corresponding action to what the word of God is declaring. It doesn't work automatically to us just because you read it. So we've got to start employing the revelation that we receive, and we need to posture ourselves and say, "Lord, what must I do to prosper? What must I do to be healed?" You say, "Well, wait a minute, now you're talking about a religion of works." Now, I'm not talking about a religion of works, but I am talking about a religion of faith. And that's why the writer said, "You show me your faith, I'll show you my works." He understood that the corresponding action was paramount to receiving the benefits of the covenant promises of God. Now, I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 with me. Let your fingers do the walking. Get to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul, writing young Timothy, says this, verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Now we know where the Word of God came from. It comes by the inspiration of God. "And is profitable." Everybody say that word. Now he goes on to say that the Bible, the Scripture, is profitable. All Scripture is profitable. I mean, say that with me. All Scripture is profitable. Now, if you know something has profit in it, or is profitable, then you want to be a part of it. If you know a business is not profitable, you certainly don't want to own that business. But if you know that business has profit in it, then you want to buy a piece of it, or you want to invest in it. So here's what the Scripture says. All Scripture has profit in it. And it goes on to say, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now hold that thought and go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, or Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Reading this way, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not what? Did not profit them." Now here's something that I have to understand. The Bible just said all Scripture has profit in it. Now I'm reading in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 that this Scripture didn't have profit in it. Now something's wrong. Either God is a liar, either the Bible's not true, that all Scripture has profit in it, or there is another condition that was not met. Right? Because here it says, the word did not profit them. Is that what it says? All right. The word did not profit them. Well, let's continue to read and find out why the word didn't release its profit. All right, verse 2. "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in those who heard it." Now, here we go. Faith is the key that releases the profit of all Scripture. However, the pathway to faith. So how then do I get understanding? And all by getting, get understanding. See, I can't go through life as a believer and read the scripture and just say, God, someday you'll have to show me this because I don't understand this. And go to the next chapter and just be satisfied. See, we've got to get to a place that says, Holy Spirit, according to John 14 and 26, you will guide me into all truth. Therefore, until I understand this word, I'm not moving on to the next word, because I know that my understanding will create faith, and faith will extract profit that's already hooked up inside this word. So you can read about healing and never be healed. You and I can read about prosperity and never increase to the next level. See, a lot of folks, they'll be beginning to look at the scripture, or they'll be talking about giving or spring seed, or they'll talk about any aspect of faith, and they'll say, well, it just doesn't work. Well, of course it doesn't work, because it has no profit in it for you, because you're not operating in faith, you're operating in doubt. See, we can't allow doubt to rule and block the profit that God has stored up in every scripture, every word. See, we talk about one word from God will change our life forever, but the devil wants us to walk in the arena of doubt. And James 1 says that when a man doubts, let him not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because he's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. But find me a woman, find me a man who gets understanding of the Word of God and walks by faith. The Bible says when you mix faith with that Word, that profit has to be exchanged. Hallelujah. So I've got a driving force in me today to understand the Word of God. I thank God that there's profit in the Scripture. Hallelujah. Got profit in the Scripture. Go back to Psalm, the book of Psalms, 119th Psalm. I want to begin reading in verse 97. 119th and verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Now see, when you read that scripture, you think, boy, those people were really religious, man. They were like consumed with God. That's all they did all day was think about the Word. Well, they unlocked the key to profit. They knew what the Word will do for them, and so they decided to set their affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. So he goes, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I've kept your precepts. Now, what this scripture helps us understand is it's not man that's going to give you the blessing. It's not education that's going to open up the door for you. All those things will help, and God will use them. But notice what he said. He said, oh, how I love your law. Oh, how I love your precepts. Oh, how I love your commandments. Because those are the things that opened up wisdom and understanding to me and made me wiser than all my teachers. It gave me the advantage in life. Church on the North Coast, do not forsake the Word of God in your daily lifestyle. Do not forsake the Word of God and seeking out through the Holy Spirit the impartation of understanding. See, more than ever, we need the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift your hand up and just tell him, say, God, I need the Holy Spirit. Come on, tell him, I need the Holy Spirit more than I've ever needed you before. Come on, church, do you believe that this morning? Now, I just heard from Elder Nichols. He told me that in the Charisma magazine, there was an article that was printed about Pentecostal churches. And the percentage is about 40% of Pentecostal churches in America no longer speak in tongues, no longer equate the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. So, now listen, that's a tragedy in itself, but it goes beyond that.
Because if I can't get understanding in the natural, then how am I going to operate in faith? And how am I going to extract profit from the Word of God? If I don't have the Holy Spirit to give me understanding and to guide me into all truth, how in the world am I going to see healings and deliverance and signs and wonders follow? How am I going to defeat poverty in my family? How am I going to defeat depression and demonic activity in my family or in my region if I don't have understanding to operate in the faith to extract the profit out of the Word of God? See, that's why today more than ever, we ought to be Spirit-led people, praying in the Holy Ghost, allowing the Spirit of God to give to us the mysteries, the unknown secrets of the realm of the kingdom of God, manifest understanding to our mind. Not something that you learn naturally, but it's out of the realm of the Spirit. Look at somebody and say, you need the Holy Spirit. Amen. You need the Holy Spirit here this morning. See, what I want to do with every scripture that I open up and read is I want to squeeze the value out of it. I want all the treasure. I want all the profit that's in it. I mean, what good would it be to go to work 40 hours a week? You get paid $20 an hour or whatever you get paid. And they shortchange you and only give you $17.50. And you get that paycheck and you look at it and you say, oh, well, I guess that's all they wanted to give me today. And you go on home. How many in here would allow your employer to shortchange you $3.50 an hour for a week's worth of work? Let me see your hand. I don't see a person in here. Then why would you come to the Word of God and allow the devil to cause doubt and fear to rise up in your life and be shortchanged the true profit, the true payment that's in that word? Why would you settle for less when God died for the best? Why would you allow the devil to steal that from you? No man would do it in the natural. I'm not going to do it in the spiritual. I want my stuff. Come on, somebody shout it with me. I want my stuff. He died too big of a price. To pay too big of a price for me to be shortchanged and be satisfied with it. I won't be satisfied with it. Go to Philippians chapter 4. You with me so far? Philippians chapter 4. We're just going to try and build this thing until we end, okay? Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 6. The scripture tells us, Paul writing to the church, and he says this, be anxious for how much? All right, nothing means no thing. Put those two words together. Be anxious for no thing. You know, it's interesting. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he shall what? All what? All things. Didn't even really define it. Just said things. So what thing do you need in your life? Watch though. Here's what he says. Be anxious for no thing. Because he told us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will take care of the things. Where are the things? The things are in the Word. Things belong in the kingdom. So if you seek the kingdom, like Psalm 119, verses 97 to 100, he said, I sought your precepts, oh, how I love your law. It has made me to be wiser than all my enemies, and has God given me understanding beyond all my teachers. What he was saying is, I got what I needed in your Word. So now Paul's telling the church at Philippi, he's saying, be anxious for no thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Watch this, verse 7. And the peace of God. Can we say peace of God? Oh, glory, the peace of God. Which surpasses what? Glory to God. Now, when I get understanding, I'm not stopping there. I'm not finishing there. I'm walking in the arena of faith, which is going to extract profit. But notice what happens. I'm on my way to peace. You say, well, what big deal is peace? Peace. Shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. I got the whole pie, not the piece of the pie. The shalom there, or peace, means too many of us have been settling for the breadcrumbs when he's wanting to give us the whole loaf. He said, I want you to be surpassed understanding. I want you to go beyond where your understanding gives you revelation and gives you faith. I want you to get to the realm of peace. Not just a feel-good time when you're in trouble. That's not what I'm talking about. Peace here means wholeness. Wholeness means wellness. It means prosperity. It means everything in life is good. Wow. You mean I can surpass understanding and get to the level of peace? And look what it'll do. It'll guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. It'll guard my heart and my mind. Today, America is suffering from stress. You know, we worry about things that even haven't even happened yet. We worry more about what could happen than what has happened and what is happening. We worry more about the potential for problems than we do applying the word to address the problems we have. And our minds are stressed out. Our minds are confused. Our minds are doubting that God can do anything. So what we need to do is get that level of peace. Watch. It'll guard my heart and it'll guard my mind so I don't make stupid choices. I often wondered over the last 30 years when I get people in my counseling chamber and we're talking about the problems they've had based on choices, I really want to say to them, and I've never done this, but I want to say to them, how can you be so stupid? How could you make such a dumb choice? Have you really looked at your wife? She's beautiful. What do you want with that snoozy for? What are you doing? Well, he lacks what? Understanding. He really thinks that satisfaction, he really thinks that fulfillment and the filling of the void is in that relationship other than his wife. He really has been deceived in thinking that drink will satisfy his soul. See, but be anxious for what? No thing. Don't be anxious for no thing. Anxiousness. Be anxious for no thing. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. See, I just got to make my declarations unto the Lord. Say, Lord, this is what I have need of. And God said, don't worry about it. I've got it in my word. All you got to do is go to my word, get understanding of it, walk by faith, get a working knowledge of my word, begin to apply it, and guess what? Profit will come as a result of my word. Because when I spoke the word, I put profit in it. The ultimate goal is to reach the place of God, or the peace of God, rather. But it must come through understanding. Now watch this scripture. Go over to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. I think they renamed that scripture. Kenneth chapter 11, verse 23. But it says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Watch this. And does not what? Doubt where? In his heart. That's why the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. Our heart, the center of man, the spirit of man, cannot begin doubting that there's profit in the word of God. But that's not the only place where attacks come. Not only in our heart, but in our mind. James 1 tells us that we ought not to be unstable or doubting in our minds. That's why Romans 12 says we have to be renewed in our minds. So the peace of God guards what? Our heart and our mind. So that we can operate in this knowledge or workable knowledge of the word of God. So this scripture tells us that if we don't doubt in our heart, but believes those things he says will be done, they will have whatever they say. Now, how many believe that? How many have understanding of that? Okay, well, we get it. See, I can believe it. I can know the scripture. I can even quote it. But until I get understanding of the scripture, I can't operate in faith in that scripture. Which means I don't have a workable knowledge of that scripture. Which means profit that's in that word can't be released to me. This is why I have a Holy Spirit reliance. He is my booster, my understanding booster. If I didn't have an intimacy with the Holy Spirit, if I wasn't relying upon his guidance daily, then I wasn't walking in fellowship and companionship with the Holy Spirit, then I would be a man most frustrated. But because God has poured out his Spirit freely upon all those who would receive, received, your sons and your daughters, your handmaidens, your servants, all flesh, God will pour out His Spirit upon them. And here we are thinking that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit is not necessary for victorious life in our faith. We have turned our focus from reliance solely on the prophet of the Word to our own abilities to live a knowledgeable life through education and philosophy of man, our own engineering, our own enthusiasm of life, our own seven-step program to success. We have established ourselves as more confident in what man can teach us than what the Holy Spirit can teach us. See, today we need to make a repentant heart. We need to create a repentant heart and say, oh, God, I repent of not relying solely on the presence of the Holy Spirit to teach me. Now, like 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians, did I say Chronicles? Well, you know what I mean. If you're in the Spirit, you know, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Holy Spirit's going to have to help this brain. Verse 24. But to those who were called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the what? Wisdom of God. So He is the power of God and He is the wisdom of God. The power of God. Christ is what? And the what? So if Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, now I know where to put my focus. Now, I've been saying this already, but watch, follow this pattern. If Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, then look at verse 30. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now we're understanding something. There is everything we have need of in Christ. Now think of me in John chapter 1. Put it up on the screen. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became what? Flesh. And it dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? With God, and the Word was God. Now we see in verse 14 that the Word, which was with God and was God, now has become what? Flesh. Well, the Word became flesh. Whose flesh did the Word become? Jesus, right? So the Word became flesh, or the Word became Christ. And notice this. The Word became Jesus Christ. It doesn't say Jesus, it says Christ. Notice that it's the anointing. It's Jesus, the anointed one in His anointing. So wisdom and the power of God is where? In the anointing of God. You see that? So now we need to have further reliance upon intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So we want to be saved. People say, well, I want to be saved, but you know what? I just don't really believe in intimacy and dependency and communion with the Holy Spirit like that. Well, friend, after today's message, maybe you may consider your position. It is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said to Jesus, when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? He said, some say Jeremiah, some this one. He said, but thou art the Christ, the Christos. Thou art the anointed one. Thou art the anointing of God on the earth. That's why in Acts it tells us that you know of Jesus of Nazareth, whom God what? Anointed of the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It was the anointing from God that came on Jesus that made all the difference. So we understand then that wisdom and power are in Christ, are in the Word of God. I believe that secrets to this world are revealed through that wisdom and that power. Just like in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 16. Daniel had received wisdom from God because he understood, our understanding from God because he understood wisdom was in God. Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. See, the king wanted to know not only the dream, but he wanted to know the interpretation of the dream. He wanted them to tell them what the dream was. You know, we're facing a generation where we're not only wondering what we're going to do about our education process in America, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with the kids that are in those schools. And what about the teachers that are sleeping with these kids? My God, we've got some trouble. We don't know how to handle this. It's so big. It's so complex. Well, it's somewhat like Daniel's day. Not only do you have to give me the dream, you've got to give me the interpretation of the dream. And so now God said, I've got a people on the earth like Daniel and his three bad boys, his boyfriends, his buddies, come on, that can interpret from the wisdom of God. Amen? So we have to understand that we need to expose ourselves. I want to give you four powerful steps in programming yourself to understand. Are you ready? Number one, be a student of the fivefold ministry. Be a student of the fivefold ministry. Ephesians 5, Ephesians 4, and verse 11. Be a student of the fivefold ministry. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher. Be a student. Listen. Understand. Why? Because they're like guides in your chariot. Everybody's got a chariot here this morning and you're going somewhere. You may have a Bible and you're reading Isaiah, but you have no idea what you're reading. You need a guide. Number two. Expose yourself to others greater than yourself. That's Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2. Daniel was a man who was learned. He read books. He learned. See, it's important that you become a lifelong learner. Expose yourself to people that are greater than you. Most of us resent people who are greater than us. We get jealous of people who are greater than us. Listen, if you're living in a two-bedroom or one-bedroom house, it's 900 square feet, and you're hoping someday to have a 3,000-square-foot house, man, start visiting people with 3,000-square-foot homes. You say, yeah, but when I go over there, I get mad at them. Well, see, you don't have the right concept. Expose yourself to people that are greater than you and have greater understanding. Number three, make Jesus Lord. You say, oh, come on, that's so simple. Well, Matthew chapter 6, 33, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And number four, leave all to get all. Leave all to get all. You might want to write that down. Mark chapter 10, verses 28 to 30. Lord, we've left everything to follow you. We left houses, we left children, we left mothers, we left fathers. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. He said, nobody that's left anything to follow me shall not live life without a hundredfold return in this life and the life after. In other words, don't you worry about it, because if you leave all, you're going to get all. But it's a mentality. It's a mindset. Well, I've got to leave all. I can't hold on to things thinking that I'm going to get more. That's not the way this kingdom works. So be open to new operating systems. Be open to new operating systems. If you humble yourself, he will exalt you. If you give, it shall be given unto you. See, but we have a hard time accepting those operating systems. But we're in a different kingdom. We're in a different world. If you were to travel to another nation, you've got to adopt their currency. You've got to adopt their laws, right? This is a new kingdom. This is another nation. It's the kingdom of God. It's got an operating system that differs from America's. And what you and I have been taught. We've tried to take the kingdom of God and integrate it into the American way. The Western mind. That's not the kingdom of God. God does not live in America. We think the whole world needs to do church like we do it. Because we got the market on God. That's not the case. I don't care if I'm in a little church with a dirt floor and one light bulb. And they're singing praises unto God, and they're worshiping. Let me tell you something. Their church is not inferior to my church. God is as speaking to them as real as he is to me. You know, revelation comes through the Holy Ghost. It's the same spirit. You know, let's not disqualify people because they don't have the right complexion. Come on, somebody. Don't have the right address. Come on, somebody. Don't have the right education. Come on, somebody. See, that's what we do. We tend to classify people based on definition of success. The Holy Ghost is not limited. How many know that God is omniscient? Omnipresent. God can be everywhere, anytime, anywhere He wants to be. He's in Australia this morning. Well, it's tonight now, but He's there. Link up with others who have found what you haven't yet experienced. Let me say that again. Link up with others who have found what you haven't yet experienced. To that, I like to increase. Well, let's start linking up with people who have experienced increase. The birds of a feather flock together. Poor people like poor people. You ever notice? Rich people hang out with what? Why is that? Birds of a feather flock together. Now, if I was a poor man, I could try to look my best and find me some rich man. Because I want to hang out and link up with somebody that has experienced something I haven't yet experienced. Because that might just rub off on me. So if I'm struggling in my marriage, I don't want to be hanging out with the doofus at work who can't keep his marriage together. Right? I want to find somebody that's got a great marriage, that's a great example, and go have coffee with them. Come on, somebody, right? I mean, why link up with the failure? You're already a failure. You know the old adage, misery? I'm not going to be your company. If I'm in misery, I'm going to find somebody that's happy. Right? The three Hebrew children were far advanced over their contemporaries. We should also be. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were bad to the bone. Now you can walk in a fiery furnace and come out smelling like no flame. I mean, you have to be bad to the bone. I want to be with those kind of people. I want to hang out with somebody that's serious for God, not playing behind the scenes. I want to link up with somebody that's really working this thing called prosperity. You know, nobody's twisting your arm to give the spring seed. You don't want to give, don't give. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me, any. God meets the needs of this ministry. I'm just creating an opportunity for you to link up for prosperity. That's all. Why? Because I know the principle, the operations of the kingdom. Give and it shall be given unto you. All I can tell you is that this is the word of the Lord. This is something God gave us as an opportunity. But if you don't have to give, I don't want anybody in this church to feel like, boy, that's all pastors talking about now, spring seed. My goodness, I don't know why. I feel so pressured. Don't feel pressured. It's not a big deal, really. I'm serious. Maybe you won't, you can't offend me. I won't look at you differently. When I look at the list of who gave and who didn't, I won't look at you any differently. I won't even look at the list. I said, man, that cheapskate, I know he's got lots of money. Man, he didn't get nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, he's just teasing. He wouldn't do that. There are three prerequisites to the Holy Spirit helping you get this understanding. Number one, the Holy Spirit won't read the Bible for you. And the Holy Spirit won't buy books for your Christian library either. Now, I know a lot of you say, well, I don't like to read. Well, you need to learn to read. Because readers are winners. Readers are leaders. And we've got to get to a place in the kingdom of God where we come out of this generation, out of our society. We may have been a C-plus student. We may not have gone to college. Our demographic in this city is 8% have a college education. So I'm talking about 92% of this city has no college experience. That means they didn't take any college preparatory classes. They took all regular or below regular classes in high school. It also tells us that the statistics in Cleveland and Lorain, nearly 50% of the students that enroll in high school do not graduate. Now, you get them saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, sanctified, and put them in a church and in a suit and a Bible in their hand, and then I'm up here telling them they need to be a learner, and they need to read. They look at me like, I don't like to read. Well, you never like to read. That's why you're working at McDonald's, and that's why you're working at Burger King, or don't have a job. Don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. But I've seen many, many people who come into this ministry got a vision, went back to college, struggled. I mean, I'll tell you about the Williams brothers. Both Greg and Paul, I don't know if they're here this morning, but and their wives too. My goodness. Raising children, going back to college, just graduated from the nursing degrees, already hired before they even passed their state bars. Now, you think that prophet would have come to them without a working knowledge of what they had? No, it wouldn't have happened. But it can happen for you. So you have to be a reader to be a leader. Say that with me. I've got to be a reader to be a leader. So we need to get ourselves to reading. Turn off the television. Bart Simpson's not going to teach you anything. And who gives two rips? Who won the Pro Bowl? Okay? Who won the Pro Bowl? AFC. 4 seconds left. Field goal. Won by 3 points. Yeah, baby! Right? Well, I'm excited about that. Who won last year's Pro Bowl? Pittsburgh Steelers. We don't even know! Why is it so important to us? When next year we won't even know! Number two, the Holy Spirit won't meditate for you. What's meditate? Think, ponder about, muse upon the Word of God. Muse upon the Word of God. Take that 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 24, verse 30. You begin to meditate, muse upon it. Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God. Take John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word became flesh. Take John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. You begin to meditate on that, ponder it. Think about it. Muse upon it. Suddenly it's beginning to come alive within me. The Holy Spirit can't do that for you. But when you do that, the Holy Spirit can take that and give you what? Understanding, which will give you a working faith, which will open up the door to the peace of God that will rule your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's why some people today are living victoriously outside of the conditions around them. They don't really care how it's going around them. They got the victory. That's why people say, how are you? They say, well, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. Well, I heard you just got laid off last week. Glory to God. It's an opportunity for God to give me a promotion. Why? Because their mind's guarded. Their heart's guarded. You can't talk them into singing your song of misery. Because they've got victory up inside them. I want to live like that. Bummed out Christians. Have you ever seen one? Bummed out. Just bummed out, Pastor. Why are you bummed out? You have the Bible. Every scripture's got profit in it. You're getting a paycheck. They're shortchanging you. You're shortchanging yourself. And you're happy to live in poverty? What's wrong with you? Go get your stuff. The Holy Spirit is an understanding booster. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. You can look at it later. He shows you things to come. So what do I need to do to connect to God's supply? How do I connect to God's prophet? See, a yoke of lack is a yoke of no understanding. That's what it is. That's why in parts of Africa today that have been known as the dark continent and impoverished continent are prospering. I know of a church in Africa today that 20 years ago was no church, and the city was as impoverished as any other African city. Today, they have a sanctuary that seats 20,000 people, paid for. Now, it is not built out of mud and sticks. It's Western-type construction, and it's paid for. How do you get a bunch of Africans who don't even have a job? I mean, like in Haiti, 80% unemployment. How do you build anything in Haiti when they not only didn't have a job to give you anything? Well, you can't bring in agriculture and manufacturing plants and try to give them education. Those things will help them. But what do we need to give them? Understanding of what? The Word of God. Because all things are in the kingdom. All things are in the Word. So we've got to turn around. watched this movie. Doug Boyle was telling me about Facing the Giants. Has anybody seen that? Facing the Giants. Powerful, isn't it? His life was falling apart until he what? Went back to the Word. He went back to the Word. He had a total reliance upon the Word, and suddenly things began to fall in place. Where's your reliance today? What are you hoping on? What are you leaning on? What is it that is your strength in your life today? See, a yoke of lack, if you're hooked up to a yoke of lack, where the lack goes, you got to go. You know what a yoke is, don't you? I don't have one to illustrate it, but I'd love to yoke up two people and show you and just lead them around. Because where I go, you've got to come with me. So if lack, you know, goes to this place, you've got to go. If it decides to go over here, you've got to go. Well, we need to break that yoke. What breaks the yoke? Isaiah 10 tells us that there's the anointing, it's the fat, it's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke and lifts the burden. So if you're yoked to indecision, you're yoked to lack, you're yoked to depression, you're yoked to small thinking. Some of us are yoked to small thinking. I remember the first time we bought couches and put them in our foyer in our church. People had a hissy fit. Some people couldn't believe that we would actually put couches in our church. This is not a hotel, they said. I said, well, what happens when people need to sit down comfortably? Well, that doesn't belong in the church. No, that's just small thinking. So we've got small, we're yoked to small thinking. So wherever small thinking goes, we go. But the anointing will what? Break and destroy that yoke, pulverize it, so that we can be set free. And then Jesus said in Matthew, take my yoke upon you, right? Isn't that what he said? We want to look at it real quick. I'll finish with that. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I know I gave you a ton of scriptures this morning, but I was going to church and read the Bible. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What he was saying is, it's a sweatless thing. It's an easy victory. Just yoke up with me. So to the level you are spiritually equipped, you will materially reap. A yoke of understanding, and you'll go to another level in every area of your life. So I share this with you this morning because I don't want us to stay status quo. I don't want our church to end up in 2007 the same place we ended up in 2006. I don't want you staying in the same place this year that you were last year. It's not God's plan. He wants us to grow. He wants us to move on. He wants us to go to the next level. I want to see our church double. Folks, you're not working me hard enough. I train, work out, to work harder than this. This is easy. One service a day, it's easy. You say, well, we had two. Yeah, well, the first one, it wasn't growing. My staff was working too hard for that little bit of people. But if you give me another group like this, I'll put another one in. Give me another group like this, I'll put three in, and I can do all three, too. So look, you're paying me, you might as well get all you can out of me. Right? Now, some of you said, well, we want Sunday nights. Well, we're up to 52 people that want Sunday nights. Well, we'll have one March 11th. We'll see whether, how much you really want it. Now, Tommy Tenney will be here. So it'll be a blessing to us. Jesse DuPlantis will be here in August. I'm not sure he's going to be here. You know, we'll try to do some things like that. That's going to be our camp name this year. It's a little different than what we've been doing in the past. But I just want you to know, folks, that God has a great plan for your life. He really does. And he wants to see you succeed. This morning, if you're not ready to go to heaven, if you were to die today, and you don't know with certainty that you'd go to heaven, that's a tough question. those things, God's got better things all stored up for you in His Word. So right now, with your heads bowed, let me ask this question, everybody in this room. You say, Pastor, I don't know. Do I need to be born again? Yeah, I guess I do. I guess I do need to receive Christ. Would you pray for me? If that's the case this morning, nobody looking around, you say, you know what, I want to learn how to live this kingdom life. What you've been talking about this morning, I want to learn to live like that. So right now, if that's you, you say, I need that prayer. I want you to lift your hand up and hold it there just for a second so I can see it. Hold it up high enough. Thank you. Thank you. Can you put it back down? Anybody else over here in the center section? Far side? Anybody else? Way in the back there? Okay, thanks, Dave. Thanks. I couldn't see it. All right, you didn't raise your hand. If you want to still have that prayer, I want you to raise it right now. Come on, this is the last time I can ask. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for doing that. God bless you. Anybody else over here too? Okay. Number of people, raise your hand. So here's what I want you to do right now. If you raise your hand, I want you to stand right where you are. Everybody look up there. Just stand right where you are. If you raise your hand, okay, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Second, ushers, get ready to receive our morning tithe.